Now we're going to look for a little bit here at the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 to 14, which is about Paul's conversion and the total transformation in his life. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Zimion, you see? For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith, to know him. What he's saying? Isn't this the whole point of the Pope's describing for us the year of faith? It's to come to a living knowledge, personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. To know him, you see? And the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We're going to consider that. We'll go on to the second part later. You see, once I've come to know Christ, everything is different. I can remember, as I was reading that now, it came back to me a moment in Israel, in Bethlehem. There was a big charismatic group coming over to use the Ben Yenei Ha'uma, to use the big city hall or city concert hall, whatever it is, there in Jerusalem. And so everybody's interested. Well, this young Baptist preacher in Bethlehem was sitting there, and there were about three or four reporters there, you know, to interview him. And I remember one of these guys, he was so tough. He needed a beard. He needed a shave. He had a half a beard. His shirt was open, a big hairy chest. I don't know if you've ever seen these things. A gold chain with a tooth on it. It's kind of popular over there. I don't know what they stand for, really. And he's smoking away. So this young Baptist fellow speaking, it's all in English, of course, because, well, that's the language they can all speak. So finally, question time comes. And this fellow raises his hand and says, "You want to kill me, don't you? I took your land." Which is, that happens a lot over there. And this young guy said, "Brother, before I knew Christ, all I wanted to do was kill you. Just to find you and kill you, that's all I wanted to do. But now that I know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, brother, I see it. There's room for both of us here. We can live here. We can be brothers here." That tough guy began to weep. To see that young fellow up there saying that, "I'm changed by the grace of Jesus Christ. And I see now, you're my brother. There's room for us. We can work it out. I don't have to hate you and try to kill you." You see, and as I was starting to read this, I count everything as loss except knowing Jesus. You see this young fellow? He knew that. He knew Jesus Christ. So much so that there in this public, little, but a public gathering, must have been maybe 80 people there, or maybe less, he says to his fellow, who represents the people who occupied his land, his father's land, "Brother, before I knew Christ, there was nothing I was thinking of more than killing you. But now that I know him, I see, brother, there's room for both of us here." And that tough man, that newspaper fella, began to weep. That's the power of grace. But just as I was reading this now, to get ready to talk about it, that whole incident came back to mind of the power. You see, so he goes on, "It is not that I've already taken hold of it or have already obtained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have been indeed taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. I'm looking forward to heaven, to be with God the Father and His Son, Jesus, who saved me, and the Spirit who's dwelling in me and will explode in me when I die and go see God. That's what I'm looking forward to. And it's all a gift. You see? And that's what he's telling us here, you see? In this second reading for this Sunday. We could ask ourselves, especially if we were born Christian, have been practicing Christianity more or less all our life, am I that excited? Have I let Jesus excite me like that? Or am I one of these people who goes to church, does my duty, complains about the sermon, and goes home? Or is this alive for me? You know, when this renewal movement, the new lay community, the charismatic renewal, and all the rest began, and people were really excited, everybody said, oh, here comes another one. Instead of saying, aren't you lucky? You know Jesus Christ. You know where you're going. You love Him and you know He loves you. How do I get that? Easy, brother, sister, just ask for it. There's nothing Jesus wants to give you more than a knowledge of His love, His beauty, His commitment to you. Nothing. Then you can preach it. You can tell people about it. And bring them to this knowledge, you see. So that's what Paul is saying. I consider, you see, it's all garbage. Except knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now that's this Philippians. It is so beautiful. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. As they say, keep your eyes on the prize. Where are we going with our life? You know, we're not believers because, well, it's a respectable thing to do, and it's probably true. We're believers because Christ has taken hold of us. And if we will let Him continue to take hold of us, there'll be nothing on our minds more important than coming to know Him and love Him, to be with Him forever, and to do whatever He wants us to do in this life, to make Him known. Millions of people don't know Him, and they're frightened. And you can see for yourself, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see the whole world, including our own country, just drifting, sinking into moral corruption. And we have to stop it. Because that's the way to death here and hereafter. And so if you're lucky enough to be going to Mass on this Sunday, then you're going to hear these readings. And you preachers, tell them. Tell them. You see, you have to preach the mystery. And as the old saying goes, nemo dat quod non gat. Nobody can give what they don't have. The depth at which our Lord Jesus Christ wants to fill our hearts with a living, fiery, loving knowledge and set the world on fire. And look at us. Look at us. People sitting every night for hours watching obscene stuff and violent stuff on the TV, you know, worried about their job, worried about the government, worried about, is this life? And here's the Lord saying, look, that's not going to change, but you are. And it won't depress you and it won't frighten you. and you'll know where you're going, and you'll be so excited about it, you want to bring a lot of people with you. And that's what Paul is saying, see? I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything else I could write off. If I go broke, if I get sick, if I lose my friends, you know, I could write that off. You know, take a hit. So long as I always know Jesus, my Lord, and who He is, and His beauty, and His love, His heart, His power, His compassion, His plan. If I am in touch with Him and know Him and know His indwelling, huh? Christ in me, the hope of glory, then the rest of it is important, but not earth-shaking. And I can find ways to find my joy, even in difficulties. That's what this text is telling us, you see. I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now you know, what is this year of faith all about? Pope Benedict has said this year of faith is for one reason, right? To have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That's the point of it. To go to all the ceremonies and read all the books and sing all the songs and not know Jesus is a flop. That must mean that it's not hard to get to know Jesus. No, it's not. Come into my heart, Jesus. Any sin I got, I turn in. I don't want Him anymore. I want You. Just show Yourself to me. And He will. It's that simple. Well, I did it once and He didn't. Well, I mean, He wants you to do it more than once. Because the more you do it, the more you yearn for it. Come on, Jesus, I've asked you. Keep on. Because the depth of your hunger is the depth to which you will be satisfied. So the Lord wants you to do that, you see. And so He wants you to be looking at Him and the blessings. But first, Him. Because He is the blessing. So, this text on this fifth Sunday in Lent is to tell us, persevere. Whatever you're trying to do for Lent, continue. But look at it as the prize, you see? I've accepted the loss of all things and consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ. How do you gain Christ? You know Him and be found in Him. I am in Christ, knowing Him, you see, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. Jesus, I believe You. I believe You died for me. I believe You want to overwhelm me with love, with divine life. Prepare me in this life so that I can tell people about You, live an upright life, take care of my family, go and see You. Go and see You. You know, St. Catherine of Siena used to say, every time she received the Eucharist, oh Lord, thank You for this unbelievable gift. But how much longer do I have to keep this up in sacrament? I want to see You. I want to be with You. That's the grace of Lent.